This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Matt Doyle is producing, and we're going to switch gears and go to Jimmy Field, the former LSU quarterbacking great, a lawyer who was a sports agent for many years, and he served on the Public Service Commission with distinction for 16 years, and Jimmy Field will be heading to Austin, Texas, in just a few hours to see the Fighting Tigers, which include his grandson, John Gordon McKernan, who is a freshman quarterback for the Tigers. And good morning to you, Jimmy Field, number 14. Jimmy Field, are you there? Let's see if we can get him up, Matt. 877-217-5757 is your number. As mentioned, January 1, 1963. LSU defeats Texas 13-0 in the Cotton Bowl, and Jimmy Field was the star quarterback. He was 9 of 13 for 94 yards passing, and in those days that was a big production for a quarterback, and he ran 22 yards for LSU's only score. The other quarterback, Lynn Amity, was 4 of 8, and he kicked 2 field goals for the Tigers, and those were the first field goals in the Cotton Bowl in 21 years. The game has changed quite a bit. And to show you how it's changed now with this stratospheric passing operation that many universities have, and Joe Burrow passed for 5 touchdowns in the first half against Georgia Southern last week as LSU won. Jimmy Field, who was considered a star quarterback in that he was, in his career, 3 years as a quarterback for the Fighting Tigers, he threw 107 passes, and had 3 scores. Jimmy Field, the game has changed quite a bit since the 1960s. You played also on defense at the same time you were quarterbacking the Tigers. What do you think about the changes?
Jim, it's just evolved in that direction and specialization and you know, we were actually, like you said, I played safety with Jerry Stovall and then played offense. We did have a good system back in those days because Lynn Amity, who was a very good offensive quarterback, he played on the GO team, and they only played offense. So that meant all week long they only practiced offense, and the Bandits, they only practiced defense. What to call a white team, which is not politically correct today, but if we play offense and defense, so that's the way Dietzel got 33 people to play in the games, and we wore people out, and plus you had so much morale because you had 33 guys knew they were going to play a lot of football every week, and it wasn't specialized. We wouldn't come out of the game. We were on punt coverage. We were on a kickoff team. It's just changed so much, and so it is much more explosive and much better offensively.
Well, that team in 1962 allowed just 34 points, the LSU team did. Had 7 shutouts, 7 out of 11 games shutouts. The only loss 15-7 to Ole Miss, and beat Texas, which was a national championship contender until Darryl Royal's Longhorns ran into LSU in Cotton Bowl on New Year's Day. And that LSU team and this rating service, Berryman, which was around from the 1920s until just a few years ago, ranked LSU the number one team in the country that year. And some other universities, which have been ranked number one by Berryman, have taken that and called themselves national champions. LSU does not credit the 1962 team as a national champion, but it legitimately could. It could say at Tiger Stadium, national champions 1958, 1962, 2003, and 2007. But you were not number one in the AP or UPI polls, so the university does not take credit for a national championship that might very well be legitimate. Jimmy Field, you were as good as anybody in the country in 1962, weren't you? All right, I think we're getting a little bit of a problem with Jimmy being able to hear me, but I know he's there, and hopefully we'll be able to restore contact with this fine gentleman who, as mentioned, was a public service commissioner for 16 years and a sports agent. Greg LaFleur, who played for the Tigers when I was in school, noted that Jimmy Field was his agent, as he was the agent for many others. And back in those days, football players who played for the Fighting Tigers and went on to professional ball, they made a good living, but they didn't make the kind of money that players do today. In fact, many of them had off-season jobs. And in Jimmy Field's case, he went to law school, and he ended up having a fine career as a lawyer, sports agent, and public official. And in 1962, players, as you heard from Jimmy Field, they were going on both sides of the ball, and you didn't have 300-pounders. LSU has 18 players above 300 pounds and several others in the 290s, and LSU's not alone. The players have gotten huge, and some of them, as you can see, are not in the best of physical condition, but they are huge physical specimens, and the game has changed quite a bit. And you were on the field, I believe, before the Georgia Southern game, Jimmy, and those guys are incredibly big men.
They are. I'm glad I played when I did. Probably the largest, biggest player we had might have been Red Estes or Bob Richards. They were tackles, and they were probably 240. And that was big. I mean, yeah. And, you know, I was playing at, say, 180, 185. So there wasn't that tremendous difference between the backs and the linemen. Of course, they had to be in better shape. We had to be in better shape because we were playing both ways. I think it'd be difficult for some of these linemen to play both ways, and you could only come out of the game like once in a quarter. It was kind of some strange rules during that era, but they're so much bigger and faster than when I played. You just can't compare it, Jim. Now somebody asked me the other day, well, did people leave the games early like they did the other night when we got way ahead of Georgia Southern? I said, no, because we were only ahead like 14-10 or 10-7. One play could turn the game around. We didn't beat people real bad. You know, there's a few teams that we won pretty handily. But we happened to beat Tulane 62-0 and South Carolina 42-0. But most of the games were real close and hard-fought games, and so the outcome depended on one or two plays, you know, even late into the game.
Mm-hmm. That 62 team was Charlie McClendon's first team as a head coach, and as mentioned, one rating service, Berryman, crowned LSU the national champion. Do you think LSU should put the 62 team right up there with the 58 and 2003 and 2007 teams, Jimmy?
I think it should be mentioned. Tell you the truth, Jim, when I read it in the paper yesterday, that was the first time that I had heard of the Berryman poll and realized we had been ranked as national champions. So I think it should be mentioned, not in the same degree as the other national championships, AP and UPI, but I do think that it bears mentioning. And truthfully, in 61, we lost to Rice 16-3, and then we won. I remember Coach Dietzel on the plane coming back from Houston said, well, if you're going to lose a game, the first game is the one to lose.
And then we won all the others.
We won all of them and won the Orange Bowl against Colorado. We had a – and if you look at the number of NFL players that we had in 61 and 62, it's comparable to the number that LSU's present teams put in the NFL.
Yeah, and Jerry Stovall was a Heisman runner-up. And in those 2 years, just like 58 and 59, you lost two games. The 58-59 and 61-62 eras were very similar, although you fell short of a Heisman winner, barely. Stovall lost a close race to Terry Baker and almost won the national championship from AP and UPI in 1962. Now, all these years later, you've got a grandson, and I saw it. He's wearing number 14, which was your number. There must be a story behind that.
Well, there is. I told him I said, you know, if you look in Matthew 1:17, it talks about being 14 generations between. Yeah, to make sure I get it right, because I write letters sometimes to people who wear it, but it's 14 generations. Let's see. from Abraham to David, 14 from David to exile in Babylon, and 14 from the exile to the birth of Christ. So I never realized that till I went to Israel in 2007, and it was a 14-point star at the birthplace of Christ. And I asked the pastor with us, I said, well, I've never seen a 14-point star. Why is it that? That was my number in college. And then he explained to me, go look at Matthew 1:17, which I had read before but never picked it up. But that's not the reason he chose it. He had a choice of 12 or 14, and Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady are his heroes, and they both wear 12. So when he selected 14, I was really a proud grandfather.
Number 14, worn by John Gordon McKernan. Maybe LSU will win by 14 tomorrow. Thanks for listening. Signature support for Talk Louisiana comes from Brian Lowe Financial.